This morning, we'll continue in our instruction in the roadmap of life through the book of Proverbs. It'll be in chapter 16. We'll start in verse 1, and I'll read it first. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit thy works to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenue without right. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresses not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, they love him that speaks right. The wrath of a king is as a messenger of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as the cloud of latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him that has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that labors for himself, but his mouth craves it of him. An ungodly man digs up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him into the way that is not good. He shuts his eyes to devise froward things, moving his lips to bring evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now let's go back and see what instruction we can get out of this. The preparations of the heart in man. Now, if you think it has something to do with that little blood pump in your chest that's going thump, 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 we're talking the wrong thing. Our mind is in the wrong place. This word heart here speaks of the mind. The preparation of the mind in humanity. Who prepares our hearts? God does. Whether it's good or evil, does it make a difference? Whether the way God wants it? Do you think that Pharaoh had a choice in what he did? God hardened his heart. You think Judas Iscariot had a choice in what he did? He had the potential, and so does every other human being on the face of the earth. Has that same potential. But God chose to use that particular seed because it was for his purpose. But we all have that purpose. When we think we're more righteous than Pharaoh or Judas Iscariot, we're kidding ourselves. Our flesh has the same potential as anybody else. But it's God's choice. He's the one who's prepared each one of our minds. Okay? And the response of the tongue is from the Lord. So how we respond to the situations, who gave us the ability to respond that way? God did. See, everybody wants to take credit. Look what I did. I've done something good. I've been a good person. Well, good and evil come from the same tree, don't they? See? If we pick up on the pattern, it really gets plain. The fourth verse will explain that a little bit more. Verse 2 goes on and says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. See, everybody thinks they're right, don't they? The natural man never wants to admit I'm wrong. Correct? So, but we have to come to a place to realize, hey, everybody cannot be right. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, do you? Everybody can't be right when we're all going in a different direction. There's a right way and a wrong way. And there's God's way.
Always right.
Huh?
I thought I was always right.
You're no different than anybody else. Well, when we think that way, we're not doing real good. See, that's where our struggles and strife come from, because we're thinking we're in control. If God prepared your mind and the answer to come back out of your tongue, then are you in control? Can anybody say they're in control if God does all that for you?
No.
You're not doing it. He's doing what He wants. He's doing getting you to do what He wants. Whether it's a positive or a negative, that's His business.
They can only say that in ignorance.
Out of ignorance they speak, right. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. See, what's the intent? Even though King David done many, many, many things, and many that's not even recorded, I'm sure, all the bad things he did, the lust, the incest, the adultery, the fornication, the murder, the lying, the deception, all those things, what was his heart? He was after God. God's own word, God said, he's a man after my own heart. See, although his flesh was strong and his spirit wasn't able to overpower that flesh as of yet, still his heart was to serve God. And deep down inside of us, all of us have that. But it's not in God's timing yet. It'll come out in His timing. It's all up to Him. Verse 3, it says, commit your work to the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. So if I focus, and this is what it's about focusing. If I focus upon God in everything in my life, what's going to happen with me?
You'll do godly things,
because that's all your mind thinks about.
Yeah. Thinks in his heart.
Yeah. That's in chapter 23. We'll get there one of these days. But that's where it's at, chapter 23. You know, we will, if we focus upon God, we'll have godly things happen in our lives. Does that mean we'll never have anything bad in our life?
No. There has to be a touchstone to show
you. There has to be that touchstone to strike you to see the quality of what's been placed in you. And it's not for God to check your quality. It's for you. Everything's happening here, like Paul said, everything's written that happened to them is written for our learning and instruction. See, it's for our benefit. And as long as we keep saying, oh, woe is me, as long as we keep thinking they did something to me, instead of saying they're doing something for me, what is it? Instead of trying to inquire and what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to bring into my forefront of my thought process so I can glean from it to help me in this life? If I would do that, do you think I'd be fighting all the time? See, I'm going to find what is the central point that God is in this situation that He wants me to learn from. And if I learn that, then that prepares me to take the next step. Yep. As long as I don't get that step, how can I get to the next one? Because you can't jump steps with God. No. Yeah. In the natural, you might be able to jump up two or three steps, but in God, you don't. You take them as He gives them to you. Okay, verse 4. This is a powerful one that the church don't even believe in. In their verses, they'd read verse 3 and go to verse 4. I mean, verse 5, because verse 4 don't exist in their understanding.
Did we get all 3?
No, just
didn't change. Yeah. Commit thy works, Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's what I was just saying. It would all come back. It'll be established in God. Everything will be fixed. I won't have to worry about a thing if I let God control my life. Yep. See? Just let Him have it all, have the reins. And like I say, the church skips over verse 4. It says, the Lord has made all for Himself. Or for His own purpose, is what it should say. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. They don't understand Isaiah 45:7. I create the light. I create the peace. I create darkness. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Jeremiah 3 and 3, I think it was 3 and 6, he says, "Shall there be a trumpet blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and I, the Lord, hath not done it?" Come on. We got to realize that God is in control of all things, not just good stuff, and there ain't no devil running around, you know, driving the other car, running a big demolition derby, seeing who can knock each other out. That's what the concept of the church has, is the devil and God's fighting. No. It's not that way. The fight's only in your mind. If you can get a hold of this, the battle's pretty well under control. So he created the wicked for the day of evil, right? Verse 5, everyone that is proud in their what?
Mind.
In their heart, not this, their mind, is an abomination or is a it's disgusting for people to walk in pride. That word abomination should say disgusting. They're disgusting to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be held innocent. See, if I walk in pride, that's a terrible thing with God, to walk in pride and arrogance. And the word punished shouldn't be there. It should be not be held innocent. Verse 6 goes on. Verse 6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Not a good rendering by King James. The first word literally should be by kindness and truth iniquity is atoned for. It's not purged, but it's atoned for. It's the Hebrew word kafar. Okay? The same word that used for pitch in the Old Testament when they pitched the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, the Ark, rather, they pitched it on the outside and the inside. They put a covering on the outside and the inside. So what's that tell me? That God covered us inside and out from the very beginning. He covered everything, see? And we don't want to see those shadows and types of what God's trying to tell us. And the ones who don't have eyes and ears just say they put tar on the outside of the boat. Well, that kind of changes things, don't it? They want to see a natural side to it. But I see that God took care of my outside, my flesh, and took care of my inside, my spirit, when he pitched it outside and inside. It was atoned for, wasn't it? Same word, kafar. And by the fear or the reverence of the Lord, men depart from evil. I don't depart from evil because I'm afraid of my Father. I leave evil behind because I love my Father and I reverence Him. By my reverence for Him, if I revere my Father, then I can do no wrong, can I? See, my focus is on Him, not upon the evil. It will become insignificant in your life. Does that mean you'll never do anything wrong in the rest of your life? No, but it means it's not important to you anymore. The main thing is, where's my heart at? If I intend to do everything and my flesh does something wrong, God's not going to condemn me because He covered me inside and out. Okay? And you too. Verse 7, when a man's course of life pleases the Lord, He makes even his adversary to be at peace with him. Now you notice in King James the word is enemies, right? But enemies is plural. And when you look up his Hebrew word, it's a singular word. Your adversary. And I'm going to tell you, the only adversary you got is the one you look at in the mirror when you put your makeup on or you shave your face or your head or whatever it might be. It's your adversary. It's your own thinking process. That's my adversary. My carnal mind is my adversary.
Non-spiritual mind.
That's right. That non-spiritual mind is my adversary. See, it's not enemies. And just something that simple. It's, well, enemies and adversaries, same thing. But it's singular. So it's not enemies. It's not plural. It's only one. See, a human being is not my adversary. A human being is not my enemy. Only myself is my enemy. I'm only going to destroy myself by the thinking I have. But he makes your adversary to be at peace with him. When you put on the mind of Christ, what happened to your adversary?
He has no power.
He becomes very docile, doesn't he? Carnal mind can do nothing when the mind of Christ steps in because he's disconnected from our way of thinking about things. So he can't even get in there and do anything to stir things up.
Two things can't occupy the same space at the same time.
Can't do it, can they?
Same thing as the mind of Christ and the carnal mind can't
be there together.
Can't, Can't function.
Can't function together. Nope. Absolutely not. Okay, verse 8. Better is a little with the what? With moral virtue. Better is a little with moral virtue than great income or great gain without justice. Let me read it again. Better is a little with moral virtue than great gain or income without justice. If someone unrighteously gets a hold of gain, what good's it going to do them? The book even says wealth has a way of taking wings, and King James don't say it right, but it flies off. It says it flies off to heaven like an eagle. Well, eagles don't fly to heaven; they fly up in the sky. Okay, so it's just like an eagle; it flies away. Did you ever try to get close to an eagle? They're gone before you even get within. You can barely see them a lot of times, and they're gone. They got eyes; it's unbelievable, and they get away from anybody in human activity pretty well. They get away. You can get glasses and watch them. We got them down in the bottoms down here now. We saw them the other night. We sat down there. We were coming home, and there was one sitting there on that ice down there the other day and catching fish. It was right along the bank, you know. And then when we was eating Wednesday, we saw two flying over there by the restaurant down there at Mexitali. So, I mean, they're around, but you just don't get close to an eagle. You don't walk up and pet an eagle. You know, it's going to be gone. But it says wealth will fly away. That means money like that, that's gotten that way, has a tendency to have no home. It will never set still. It'll just keep rolling and rolling around to somebody else.
Well, I mean, you see it all the time, though. People get it that way, and
it's gone instantly.
It's never enough. They're always worried somebody else is going to take it from
them. Look at all the people that's won the lottery, with suicides, deaths in the family, divorces. Institutionalized people, they've lost their mind, you know, just everything just went crazy. You know, the whole family's destroyed because they got it the wrong way. The right way is to earn it. Okay. Verse 9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now let's go back and look at that a little better. A man, this word is 120, it's Adam. That's humanity's mind, okay? Humanity's mind plans his course of life, but the Lord directs his course of life. That's what it should say. See? A man plans his own way in his own mind, don't he? When we're young, do we not do that before we begin to understand what God's doing in our lives? We think we're in control. That's what we're told, isn't it? Aren't we told that we're supposed to plan our lives and do everything ourselves? Well, yeah, but I'm saying we're taught that from a very early age, that we're supposed to do all these things, but that's not what it's about. It's about letting God lead us in these directions. And He will direct our steps if we let Him plan for us. If we fight Him about it, do you think God's going to stand up and duke it out with you? If you want to resist God, if God does, and first of all, if you resist God, it's because God wants you to learn a lesson. It's not that you're stronger than him, or he's afraid of you, or he can't control you. He wants you to learn, and the best way you can learn is by failure. Do you realize that? Every intelligent man that has devised these tremendous inventions we have today, they never took a defeat as a loss, but a learning process. They eliminated something that wouldn't work. That's a positive way to look at a defeat. They said, no, I'm not defeated. I just learned that way didn't work. So I eliminate that one. I won't do that no more. I'll find another way. And that's how this world has progressed through all the inventions that we have through society. And we have to do the same thing. Realize it wasn't a defeat. I learned something. So when I butted my head against the wall with God, all I did was got a bloody head and a headache. But when it went away, I realized that wasn't real smart, and I shouldn't do that too often. Because my head will hurt again, and I'll bleed again, you know. And after so many times, generally, not always, generally we learn that's not the course I want to take. I want to find an easier course. Because God knows how we are as human beings. We always seek the path of least resistance. We're going to try to go that least resistance as long as we can in our own thinking. But eventually, we're going to run out of options, and we're going to stand face to face with that big wall, which is Him. And we're going to beat our head against Him until we give up, because He's the big rock that won't be moved.
The shortest path is between that A to point A to point yeah. B is the way he wants us to go.
The way he's directed that short path.
Yeah, it's not the way the carnal mind sees it, straight line.
We see that.
Whichever way he wants us to go.
That saying I use, the path of least resistance makes rivers and men crooked.
Mm-hmm. That's a straight line.
Straight line's a little better. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. Now, when everybody sees a sentence, a divine sentence in the lips of the king, they think negative. Just like I say, the king will judge you. Everybody says that whenever it's all over with, we're going to go to the great white throne for judgment. Well, the only judgment there is has already been given. There is no more judgment. According to the scripture, he said it's finished. And he said before this happened, he said, Father, while he's hanging on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he said, it's finished. Now, if Jesus asked his Father to forgive humanity, do you think he didn't do it? What was the Father's intention to start with? Was to forgive us. And he made a way where we could understand it. That's all. He made a way that we could understand. All this was written for our learning and instruction. It happened to everybody. That's what Paul said. Everything that happened was to help us learn something. God knows that we're hard-headed. He created us. He's not upset about that because he can crack them hard heads anytime he wants to. Just like a little old peanut shell. Pop it. It's nothing to it. He can do it anytime he wants to. But right now, he wants us to learn through the process. And he can't turn it all at one time. Remember it says in Proverbs, if you found honey, eat your fill, but don't eat too much, lest you vomit up the good word you found. You can't get it all at one time. Sometimes people want you to, well, just give it to me in a simple form so I can get it and go on and forget about it. There's many that do that, but they never attain to the fullness of it. Because they don't realize it's a progression that we walk through. It's something we have to experience every day, positive and negatives every day, and how do you respond to it? Now, just because nothing has happened to you in a long time, does that mean nothing ever will? I mean, you can go through your time in the desert, and what was the Elam, the place of the 12 palms and everything? 12 wells and 12 palms or whatever it was, 70 palms and 12 wells. Where everybody could be comforted in the desert. There's a time we go through that, but we're going to go out the other side of that little place and go right back in the desert again. We're just going to travel through, get a refreshing, and move right on out. And until we come to perfection, and I don't think any of us have come to perfection yet. We're on a progress, but we're not there yet. So just hang on, wait on God, and let him do what he wants.
My flesh will never be perfected.
No, the flesh is never going to be perfected, but it's your thinking process. He's trying to call to remembrance. He's not trying. He's calling to remembrance everything he wrote in your heart before the foundation. Didn't he say the first verse, the preparations of the mind in humanity and the response or reply of the tongue is from the Lord? So he's getting you to remember what he wrote in your heart before the foundation of the world. It's already there. You just got to learn what's there. And the only way you're going to learn is by what?
Experience.
Experience. Not by some preacher telling you, not by me telling you. I'm just telling you, I'm giving you a shadow, an outline of what it is. But you have got to experience it. See, I can say, hey, I went and had a fantastic pizza last night. And I can tell you about it, and you can think about it all you want, but you never experienced eating that pizza that me and my wife had last night. I don't care how good your mind is, you can't experience what we had, can they? I had the pizza. See, I can tell you about it, but it won't do you no good till you go get that pizza and eat it yourself. I'm not telling everybody you have to go eat a pizza today. That's just an example. Okay? And it's the same with God. What I have with God, I can tell you about it, but you're never going to fully believe what I tell you until you get some of it. Can you hear me? You got to have the same thing. You've got to have the same peace, the same love and forgiveness and mercy and grace that he gives to me. You've got to have it. And you've got to experience it with him. Not by Dave. You know, peace don't come through Dave. Peace comes through God. And you have God within you. You have to know this thing. See, it's not about what I do. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. But to attain to the fullness, you have to experience it. God never gave us apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher so everybody can become brain dead. And that's where the church is at. Everybody's brain dead. They're just recorders. They just mimic whatever the preacher says. That is not what it's about. It's about you knowing, isn't it? If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And that truth that you know shall make you free. It's not about me doing it for you. See, that's the whole problem with the church system. Trust the preacher. He'll get me through. And believe me, I've heard people say it. Oh, I don't pray or read my Bible. My preacher does that for me. And don't think there's just a couple of them out there doing that. Because there's a whole bunch of them. And don't get in condemnation and guilt if you don't have the drive to do that. Because it said He prepared your heart, didn't it?
Yeah.
If He hasn't got you being driven there, if you do what I do because of I'm doing it, and not because God wants you to do it, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. You're not going to get anything out of it. You can't earn your way.
You're a hypocrite.
Well, you would be trying to do something and earn your way, isn't it? Isn't it a divine selection by Him, chosen before the foundation of the world? You got to do what God wants you to do. And you know, Judas Iscariot, bless his heart, did exactly what God told him to do. So did Pharaoh. They did what they were told to do. God set them the way He wanted them. Same way with us. Okay? But anyway, the divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresses not in judgment. See? So, there it is. It's all about what God wants. And the king does it. See, we can get mad at the presidents, but what they run our how they run our country, who takes them up and who sets them up and takes them down? See? It's up to God. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for every power that be is ordained of God. He's got them up there for a reason. They say, well, they're cursing our country. Well, if that's what it needs, then that's what it needs. Not for me to judge it. God will take care of it. Verse 11. A just weight and a balance are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are His work. Now, all the things in His bag are His work. That could be good or bad, couldn't it? All the things that He has set up for you is of God. Everybody, the church teaches that everything that's good is God and everything that's bad is of the devil. That isn't true because it's all God. Didn't He say He created, in this chapter He just says He created the wicked for the day of evil, didn't He? Right there in verse 4. So we have to lighten up a little bit. Understand, get the picture. Quit listening to what someone says and hear what God says in your heart. Whenever you hear something, how does it respond? How does it resonate inside of your mind whenever I'm saying something to you or God is speaking through someone else to you? When you hear that word of God, well, how does it resonate in you? See, there's the important thing. That's how I learned. I heard other people speaking that were totally ignorant of what they were saying. But I heard the Spirit of God speak to me at the time they were speaking. And I didn't care what they said. I heard God speak, and somebody else was listening to words bouncing off the walls, and I couldn't even hear what they were saying. I could hear the Spirit of God. Why do you think the book of Revelation talks about so much and teaches us that blessed are you that has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? If I can hear what the Spirit says over top of what the natural voice is saying, that's all that matters. I need to hear what God says in this thing. Not what somebody devised a plan in, you know. I don't care what their dogmas and doctrines and all that stuff means. It doesn't mean a thing to me. I want to know the truth, because only the truth will set me free. Too many people want to be right in their conversations, and they don't care whether it's truth or not. They just want to have the appearance of being right all the time. And that's just arrogance and pride, which is disgusting to God.
That's probably a lot from their insecurity.
Sure it is.
Who they are.
They have no clue who they are. None whatsoever. Verse 12, it says, it is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness. Now notice that word king there is plural. We're not talking about the kings that sit on these golden thrones and have slaves and all that stuff and servants. That's not what he's talking about. Know ye not that you're called to be a nation of kings and priests unto our God? For kingly people, for godly people to act wicked, do you realize what that is? It's disgusting to God to see His people living like the world when they should be living godly lives. That's disgusting to Him. because the throne is established by righteousness, not by the doing the worldly things, not by creating good business and making a lot of money and all that foolishness, you know, getting great numbers of people. That's not what it's about. It's about the truth. The only thing that'll change it is the truth. And sometimes that truth is very painful. It is, isn't it? Very painful at times. But we have to love it because it changes us, not because of the pain and suffering, but because it helps us. It takes us to a better place. Verse 13, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaks right. Kings, like the king, Christ, the many-membered body, loves everybody else that speaks right because they're of the same mind. Right? So he likes it when everybody's doing the right thing.
It's like us when we get a group of people that is of like
same spirit. It just flows so well. You know, we can sit in a room with two people in it, or three people, or four people, or 10, or 20, or 30. It doesn't make any difference. But if we're all thinking in the same direction, it just flows, and it goes so well, and everybody gets involved, and everybody puts into the big stew, so we have a great big stew, and it works really good. It's flavored well. But when we get the opposition, then we get not just the people that bring opposition, but then people who are sitting in the room who would have good input won't speak because of that conflict going on. And I won't mention names, but at one time we've had several people in the past that come in, and all they wanted to do was just spit and sputter all the time. And that's here and other places. And when those people come in, it shuts everybody down. And see, we're not supposed to shut down because of that. I know I've had several times of opposition in other cities, and once in Detroit was really probably one of the worst ones I'd ever seen for an extended period of time. And it went on for a half hour or better, probably 45 minutes before it finally got it calmed down. But I would not attack the person or the people that were there that was attacking me. And other people in the congregation, there was a pretty good crowd, and they wanted to just pick them up and throw them out, you know. And I said, no, leave them alone, leave them alone, leave them alone. Just let it go. And finally, the pastor of the church even said, you know, hey, this has got to stop. And I said, hey, leave them alone. Leave them alone. They're here for a purpose. And if nothing else, you can see how to respond. You see me respond the way you should respond when people attack you. Don't get violent. Don't get mad. Don't get angry, because when they do, they turn the light out in your mind. And then you can't think and do the things that you know are the godly things you need to do. Okay? Just let it go.
It was an example
to them. But I had to endure it, and it was not comfortable, I'm telling you. It was not comfortable at all. I would like, my flesh would love to just pitch them out in the street with the rest of them to start with and go on, you know. But what good would that do? Okay? What example would that leave?
Just let them see that reflection of God and not okay. The nastiness.
Okay. It would have showed us, it would have said, you can stay and you'd be my friend as long as you agree with
me. If you agree with me, see, that wouldn't work. You know, it's okay to have dissenting opinions, but to be nasty about it is the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can disagree with me. That's not a problem. I like people to disagree with me. So if I have a flaw, if we actually have a good discourse and a discussion about something, it will bring thoughts into my mind as well as yours, and I'll find out if I'm right or wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'll thank you for it.
But there's never an excuse to be nasty.
No, there's never an excuse to be nasty, but there's still a lot of them that do it. And a lot of preachers that really think they can. You know, they have a right. I'm a preacher. I got a right to do that. Well, there's no special. The only thing special about a preacher is you got to, I think, if you are, in my opinion, I have a greater set of regulations to rule me than anything written on this paper.
When a religious Pharisee raises his head up like a viper, isn't
yeah. It's nasty, sure it is. But I'm saying I feel like I am bound by something stronger than the words written on this page, and that's by the love of God. I cannot be that way. I just can't do it. I would be a hypocrite if I do anything other than what he shows me his nature and character is.
Didn't it just say in verse 12 that it's disgusting?
It is disgusting, yeah. And if it's disgusting to him, and if I have his thinking process, then guess what? It's disgusting to me too. So why would I do it? You know, it just don't work. Okay? Well, we're at 13. Righteous lips are the light of kings, and they love him that speaks right. The wrath or the anger of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. Now, let me explain something here. The anger of a king. There we're talking about natural. We can have something, get some little anger going here. Is as messengers of death. You anger a king in the natural, what could he do to you? He could chop your head off, kill you in any way he wanted to, right? But, look, it says, but a wise man will what? You know what word is that is right there for pacify it? It's the same word kafar that we talked about a little while ago. Okay? When we talked about it, where was, what verse was it in? Purge, down there in verse 6. Okay? Verse 6 where it says purged, it's the same word, kafar, in this verse up here. And what is it in verse 14? Where it says pacify it. So, read the same understanding in here. The anger of a king is as messenger of death, but a wise man will atone for it, or will cover for it, inside and out, won't he? That thing was covered inside and out. So that don't mean I just say in words on the outside, hey, I forgive you, but inside I'm going to drop the issue, aren't I?
Right. You come on with Christ,
and it's gone. Yeah. It's gone. See, I can't say it just in, and I heard so many people say, I forgive. I was just talking with a man this week, and he said he forgive a man that done him so wrong. He said, he pointed him out to me, and he said, see that man there, he done me terrible wrong about 20 years ago. Man, I mean, he done me wrong, but I forgive him. He's going to church. And he said, but I can't talk to the man. I just can't even stand to be around him. I detect something here. I detect some anger in there and unforgiveness. See, that was just an external saying, I forgave him. But if he had forgave him inside, he wouldn't have an issue with that man anymore, would he? You don't have to go up and hug his neck every time he sees him, tell him he loves him. But he don't have to have an issue. If I have an issue with anybody, then that means there's something in me that's not right yet.
He's holding a grudge.
Yeah, he's holding a grudge, absolutely. But I'm saying, here's how you judge. I judge myself, and everyone should judge yourself the same way. If I have something with you, an issue with you, as an individual, or any other individual, then there's something wrong with me. I don't care what you did. If I let you get under my skin, then I have an issue in me that needs to be dealt with.
Made a landmark.
See? Well, I'm letting them move the old landmark. See?
How you deal with it in here.
Absolutely.
With all your problems, it's just how
internal.
You deal with it, how you deal with all this stuff out here.
The world's only 7 inches wide right between her ears. Mine might be 9, I don't know. Something like that. But, you know, just right between her ears, there's a whole problem. That's the issue. But we have to know that kafar, a righteous man, will pacify it or atone for it. Verse 15, it says, in the light of the king's presence or face, it's panim is the word, should be face or presence, is life. In the light of that face or presence, there's life. And his favor is as a cloud of the spring rain. You know what spring rain does? It brings life. What's he telling you? See, it didn't say something about the latter rain. It's the spring rain, what it says. Spring rain brings life. That's all there is to it. So we say, in the presence of God, it's just like the spring rain. It will bring life to you. Okay? We all should know that by now, shouldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
We should know that.
Happen to the source.
Yep. How much better is it, verse 16, to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather be chosen than silver? You know, is there anything other than maybe platinum and diamonds people crave more in this world than, you know, some kind of valuable things? It doesn't make any difference. He's saying that it's better to get wisdom and understanding than anything the world has to offer. And is that not the truth? Certainly it's the truth. When you walk in the understanding and wisdom of God, you'll lack nothing. And we're not talking about big buildings full of gold and silver and jewels and all kinds of valuable. That's not what we're talking about, the true value of life, which is life itself, the Spirit of God, and knowing who you are. Because we all possess it within us, but we're all not aware of it. The whole humanity is not aware of God dwelling in them, are they?
No.
They think someday, when they get up there, up yonder, if they're good enough and don't ever mess up the last second before they die. And they get their log cabin in the corner of heaven. Yeah, I know everybody says Jesus was a carpenter. He's up there building them a log cabin. Well, that's not true, because they never said once he was a carpenter. He was the son of a carpenter. See, read the words correctly. Never said he was a carpenter. Did I say he never built anything? No, I just said he. In the book never says he was a carpenter. Someone's assuming something when it says he was a carpenter. So sorry, don't say that. He was a son of a carpenter. My dad was a farmer, didn't make me a farmer. I'll tell you that right now. I despise farming for myself. I'm glad somebody else does it.
You're a farmer in a different sense.
In a different sense, much different sense. I work in soil a different way.
Mm-hmm. Still plant seeds.
Yep, but not the way he did. But I learned a lot of principles from it, but I don't want to go back and stick them in the dirt again. It's hard enough for me to raise a couple tomato plants, but I do it. Okay, where'd I leave off? Oh, 17. The highway of the upright, and the word highway is not highway, it's literally the staircase of the upright, is to depart from evil. It's not highway, it should be staircase. Now, why did they use the word staircase there? I don't know why they put highway, because it's not there, but why would they put staircase? A staircase is used to ascend up or down, isn't it? Okay. So the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Well, spiritually speaking, to depart from evil, you have to ascend, right? Not physically, but in your mind. So we take the staircase up. And he that guards, keeps or guards his course of life preserves his what?
It says soul.
It's not correct. What's anybody else got? It should be life. It preserves it. If he keeps his way of keeps his way of life, he preserves his life. The word there should be life, not soul. Okay. It could be soulish life, okay? He protects his soulish life, maybe, but still it should be life. Verse 18, pride or arrogance goes before a crushing or destruction there. Pride and arrogance go before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a crushing. Excuse me, the other word fall there. Nope. Verse 19, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the saintly, not lowly, but the saintly, than to divide the spoil with the arrogant. So instead of better to be off with some poor people that ain't got much, but they're humble people, spiritual people, than to be with the arrogant and the prideful people with a lot of true wealth and riches of the world. It's not worth it. Verse 20, he that teaches a matter, literally says handles a matter, it should say teaches the word, wisely shall find good. See how they buried that? He that handles a matter, it should say he that teaches the word wisely. Look how quick they hid that thing. It's not about handling some issue out here, is it? Mm-hmm. It's about teaching the word wisely. Shall find good. And whoso trusts in the Lord, he'll be happy. If you trust God, you'll be happy. What is the definition of happiness or freedom? Remember what I used to teach the one about freedom? Freedom is not doing what you want, but freedom is living within God's limitations and boundaries and being happy there. Wherever God's got me, that's okay. I don't have a problem. I used to have an issue of wanting to be home all the time. Home is wherever me and Lois is. I can be anywhere. It doesn't make any difference. I can go anywhere and feel comfortable. I can lay in a strange bed and just lay down with my wife and no issues whatsoever. I mean, I like my bed at home, but I mean, I like being home, but I feel comfortable just everywhere now. I mean, I don't really have an issue like I used to about being in strange places. Why? That's no doubt. After 29 years, I should have got kind of accustomed to this by now, you know, found a comfort zone. Yeah. That's all I do.
Be content with whatever lot.
That's why Paul said, be content with whatever lot you're in.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 21. The wise in heart or mind shall be called discerning or understanding, is what it should say. The wise in the mind shall be called discerning or understanding. And the pleasantness of the lips adds to his influence.
I'll stick on passion.
Yeah. But it says, but the pleasantness of the words increase his influence. When you talk to people with pleasant words that are negative and nasty all the time, what you do is you add influence to you, what you're doing. They don't, you know, you don't jump on the wagon with them and beat somebody down because somebody did you wrong. You say, no, look, you know, you don't know how bad the day that person's had. They could have had a really bad day and popped off, and then you popped off back, and now you got a war going. And if all you had to say, yeah, I understand, and it could have went away. See? And you would have more influence with that person than ever before, because you didn't take them down that pit, you know. You kept them up out of the pit. You elevated them.
Just be more compassionate with them.
Right. Verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him that has it. Now let me tell you, that word wellspring is not wrong. Not right, rather. Excuse me. It is wrong. Understanding is the source of life. The word wellspring should be the source, not a wellspring, but the source of life to him that has it.
Is that understanding? Is that wisdom or knowledge?
Well, I can't remember right at the moment. I didn't pick that one out, but I'll have to look at it later. I can give it to you, or you can check it there on the screen. But I believe it is understanding or discernment. Okay? Understanding is a source of life to him that has it, but the discipline of fools is foolishness. See, with the word instruction right there literally is discipline. The one thing a fool don't like is discipline. The one thing humanity don't like is discipline. True or false? See? Most people do not like discipline.
Well, you started out before. If they think they're right, they don't think there should be any discipline.
That's right. They think if you already think you're right, you can't learn anything.
They want you to think their way.
Yep. Now, I'm not a real good follower in that aspect. I can follow God, but I'm not good about following everybody else. Okay, verse 23. The mind, not heart, but the mind of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Not learning, but persuasiveness. Look what it says. The mind of the wise teaches his mouth. So who's in control, the mouth or the mind? The mind should be in control of the mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. So when my mind controls what I say, and I know so many people that we were just talking to some this past week, during the week, you know, several times, and they talk so much and they just say things and they stumble over the words, they say things they don't even mean, and I know they don't, but they just don't want you to say anything, that they're trying to keep you from speaking so that you won't say something that might hit them between the eyes. So they just keep just keep going, you know.
There'll be insecurity.
Oh, absolutely, it's an insecurity. They're afraid that something's going to come out that they don't want exposed, you know. So they just keep talking.
Back up there to that verse 22 on the understanding.
Yes.
In the PC Study Bible, how it goes down.
Yeah, go ahead.
Under the King James, it says discretion, and then the second word is knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to understand it. It does use wisdom too, so
yeah. It's all in the context of it. All those words are in the context of it. Okay. Verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the what? And literally, it should say, sweet to the inner man. Okay, sweet to the inner man. And health to your bones. What do your bones represent in your body?
Structure.
The strength and structure of your body. See? And it'll give you strength to come to that knowledge of God, won't it? Those pleasant words encourage people, make you feel better about yourself. Verse 25. There is a course of life that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the course of death. That's what it should say. Oh, yeah. There is a course of life that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the course of death. You know, many times we were on a course, and if we didn't get changed, we're going to die. And that's the way the natural man is. And only by God's grace and mercy do we go through all those mistakes, and that's what grace and mercy is about. It just covers us up when we make the mistakes to help us learn about the things we shouldn't be doing. Okay? It's a good thing. Yep. Verse 26. The soul, not he, but the soul that labors, labors for himself, because his mouth urges him. I'm hungry. Go get me something. See? The soul that labors is talking about the human person that labors. He labors for himself, to feed himself. And we all should do it. But I know in our society today, it's turning very socialistic, where you don't have to do anything. Everybody else that does work gives it to you. The people who don't work gets everything, and the people who do work gets punished for working hard. That's a socialistic country, and we're fast coming there when the government takes over everything. And it's coming. None of my concern. What did the book say about us? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. They can do what they want to. We'll survive. We'll survive.
We're in Goshen.
Verse 27. The ungodly, an ungodly man or a wicked man digs up evil, and in his lips there is a scorching fire. How many people do you know that just can't say anything good? Huh? Lots of them. And everything they do, they have this scorching fire in their mouth. They just tear up and destroy and talk down negative everything. And believe me, I know. We talked to one of them yesterday morning, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I've been dealing with him for a year or two now, a couple of years, I guess. And he's softening up, but he still wants to go back and do that negative thing again. I said, "Oh, it's doing dragging you down. Don't you just feel terrible about it?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, won't you kick it off?"
He wants to label himself as a negative.
He carries it around like a badge of honor, you know. I said, "Well, you can carry it if you want to. Go ahead. It's going to be harder climbing up that hill every day."
How you doing today? All not bad for a Monday.
Yeah. Yep. Verse 28. A froward man sows strife. Literally, it should say a perverse man. The word froward doesn't mean anything in our language, does it, to the average person? It's a perverse man sows discord. And a whisperer, that's not a good rendering either. A slanderer divides intimate friends. Okay, read the whole thing again. A perverse man sows discord, and a slanderer divides intimate friends or friendships. People run in their mouth. I've had some very good friends who I think would have been very good friends throughout my life, but someone else sowed discord between us. It was just lies, and they slandered and did things, and the people walked away from me to this day. And it was just stupid stuff. It did not happen. It was just something someone made up in their mind and told these people, and they still believe it to this day. And they say, "Oh no, I don't believe that," but we haven't been associated with friends with each other for 30 years. What do you think? Oh, there's no issue. Yeah, that's why you haven't talked to me for 30 years. Yeah, right? They think you're stupid because they say no, but you know, they don't think you can see through it. Anyway, we got to let all these issues get behind us. Okay, verse 29. A violent man entices, or literally deceives, his neighbor and leads him into the course of life that is not good. A lot of people will deceive you. I can hear an amen to that, Bobby, can't I? He shuts his eyes to devise, not froward, but again, it's perverse or fraudulent things. Okay. He thinks about them when he's sleeping. Makes up ideas. Just a way to do people in. Moving his lips, he accomplishes evil. So he thinks about it first. Remember it says earlier that the man teaches his mind, teaches his lips good things, good words? Well, here, the violent man is teaching his mouth evil things. He shuts his eyes and plans things out, and then his lips bring it to pass. They speak that evil, or accomplishes that evil. Okay, verse 31. The hoary head is a crown of glory. Literally, this word hoary literally means gray or white. Someone gray-haired or white-haired that is a crown of glory, if it be found in the course of life of righteousness. So it's saying, as a godly person, if you live until your hair turns white, that's a good thing. That's an honorable thing. Okay? It's a crown of glory. It doesn't mean if you don't have any hair at all that you're bad. It's just saying when the hair turns white, you've had a long time to grow in this, and you should by this time have a lot of righteousness planted in you, or matured in you. Verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that captures a city. So the greatest thing I can do is control myself. Remember what I said? What people think about me is none of my business. If I don't worry what anybody else says about me, I'm not going to have any trouble ruling myself, am I? It's always about what someone else thinks or someone else says about you or me as an individual that gets us to get our hackles up. Well, if you get your hackles cut off, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Don't worry what people think about you. It's none of your business. Your business is taking care of yourself. Is that not true? Take care of yourself. Don't worry about the other people.
What's the scripture about if you don't rule your own house well?
How can you rule the house of God if you can't rule your own house well? See? To rule the house of God, I must... And what is this, the house of God? Know you not that you're the temple of the living God? You know, we are the house of God. And I need to rule it well. I can't rule myself if I can't rule the house of God. See, I got to rule myself to be able to rule the house of God, even in the natural. Verse 33, I like this verse. The lot is kind of like casting dice, you know. It's cast into the lap. He said, you can cast all you want to, what this thing is saying. You can cast all you want to, but the whole disposing, or all the decisions thereof, is of the Lord. You can throw your dice all you want. You can roll your bones and rattle your sticks and count your beads and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, who's in control? But the whole disposing thereof, or all the decisions, is from the Lord. See? So you can say, I'm going to roll this thing, or I can get one of those, what's those eight balls that give you all them answers? You can shake your eight ball, you can go to your psychics and all you want to, but the words that come out of their mouth is prepared from God, aren't they? The reply from that mouth is from God. He'll give you what He wants you to have. And He said, if you won't believe the truth in the book of Thessalonians, He said, if you won't receive and to believe the truth, I will send you. God said, I will send you a strong delusion, and you will believe not a lie, but the lie. So God will give you what you want. If you don't want the truth, He'll give you whatever it takes to take you down that sidetrack. Just exactly what it needs until you learn that you've had enough of the sidetrack and you're ready to come back to the highway. The one that Isaiah spoke of, the highway, literally the higher way, where the lions can't walk and the vultures can't fly. He's talking about tabernacles. See? So, anyway, I'm going to call it quits for the day. Anybody got any questions or comments or rocks to throw or any of that stuff?
No.
Nope? Okay.